This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family matters.
Hello and welcome to Family Matters. I'm Con. I'm here with Daniel. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, Con. I'll be playing the role of Gina this evening.
Oh, lovely Gina.
Your fearless leader has taken the night off to tend to her lovely daughter, Harper. So I'll be playing the role of Gina and I hope to do her justice.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Well, tonight, we're going to be talking about something coming up with Varta, A Time to Tell. But before that, let's just give us our usual social contacts. You can please join us by SMS on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. We're also on Twitter, FamilyMatters94, and our Facebook page is Family Matters on Joy. And don't forget, you can catch up on tonight's and previous night's Family Matters programs by podcasts via joy.org.au/Family Matters, and you can contact us via email, familymatters@joy.org.au.
So the name of the game tonight is the Time to Tell Seminar, which is this wonderful new initiative run by VARTA, which is the Victorian Assisted Reproductive Treatment Authority. VARTA, yeah. That's quite a mouthful.
Quite a mouthful.
To help us explore the Time to Tell Seminar, we're going to be welcoming a number of guests to our studio this evening. First, we'll be welcoming Kate Bourne to the studio. Now, Kate is no stranger to the Family Matters team. She joined us on the program this time last year, I think, quite some time ago. Kate is the donor registers service manager at VARTA, and we'll be having a chat to Kate about the donor registers, but also about this really important seminar. So we should actually say up front, Con, exactly what this seminar is about.
Yeah, well, it's sort of actually held a month from today, exactly. It's on the 6th of October, and it's to do with talking to your children about how we became a family with the help of a donor or a surrogate. So, as you said, we're going to be joined by Kate, but also we've got two surrogate sort of parent dads who sort of use ART, Michael and Terry. And we'll be talking to them shortly about this very interesting upcoming workshop and also talk about Michael and Terry's journey in becoming parents.
And I know that Michael and Terry also have another project on foot at the moment called Baby Steps, which is something I'm very interested to talk to both of them about. But all that and more is coming up later in the program as we explore Time to Tell and the importance of having conversations about conception and the way that children are conceived, especially in the context of donors. You are listening to Family Matters, where this evening we are exploring the upcoming Time to Tell conference and why it's so important to have discussions around conception, especially in the context of donors.
And joining us, we've got Kate Bourne, who's the Donor Services Registered Service Manager of VARTA, which is the Victorian Assisted Reproductive Treatment Authority. And also we've got Michael and Terry, who've conceived through ART sort of purposes. So, hello, Kate. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about VARTA, what it does and the services it provides.
So VARTA's a statutory authority, which might sound very formal, yeah. But in fact we provide a lot of public education, so please have a look at our website. We've got lots of information for people thinking of having a family. We run these seminars every year. They're always booked out, normally 150 parents come, and it's a great day with lots of real people like Michael and Terry speaking, as well as families from all different constellations, and young people speaking, donor-conceived adults speaking. So, yeah, it's a really great event.
Now, we want to come to the seminar in just a little bit, but perhaps to begin, for people who aren't familiar with VARTA, obviously VARTA stands for the Victorian Assisted Reproductive Treatment Authority. What exactly do we mean when we talk about assisted reproductive treatment?
So that's any treatment that where you need medical assistance to have a child. So it covers things like donor insemination, IVF, surrogacy, things like that. Yeah, we also manage the donor registers. So a lot of people may not be aware that all donations must be from people who are prepared to be identity release. And since 1998, that's been the case. And also parents with children can apply for contact or information exchange with their donor. So a lot of people think that perhaps donor-conceived people have to wait till they're 18. They absolutely don't. Their parents can apply, but it does depend on whether the donor's comfortable to share information or have contact. But many are.
So this is obviously a really kind of, in many ways, a kind of cutting-edge space, because what you're doing is dealing with technology, which is constantly evolving. What are some of the changes that you're seeing in this kind of landscape?
We're seeing all sorts of changes both in the technology and in the legislation. So
yes,
we're very, very lucky to be in Victoria. We've got the most progressive legislation about donor conception in the world. So it's nowhere else allows so many rights for donor-conceived people, for information, for parents to apply, and also for donors to apply for information about their offspring.
Right. So then tell us about this particular seminar and why, given the work that VARTA does in this space, why it's so important for VARTA to hold a seminar like Time to Tell.
Well, we're really conscious that a lot of parents are really clear that they plan to talk to their kids, but like most parents, when push comes to shove, they might feel a little bit nervous or a bit uptight about what exactly they might say. And so it's really nice to hear from some experienced parents to hear how they've handled it. We've also got lots of personal stories on our website for those that can't come. It's nice to hear from some professionals as well, and nothing better than hearing from donor-conceived people about their memories of what their parents told them.
I think you've just done our job for us, Kate. That's a brilliant segue to our next two guests,
which is Michael and Terry. We've got quite well with us here tonight, who have used the services of VARTA, and we thought we'd welcome them in, and they could sort of tell us a little bit about their journey and how they both became parents. So, welcome, Michael and Terry. Tell us a little bit about your journey and how you became parents.
Thanks, Con. sorry. We've got two daughters conceived through domestic altruistic surrogacy. So they were born here in Victoria through donors and surrogates who also happen to live in Victoria. So we've had a very fortunate, very blessed journey in being able to run the entire process locally and being able to know everybody involved in our process. Wonderful benefit of for us is that we know our donors. We've known our donor and our surrogate for well and truly well over 10 years, and so our girls also know them. And we talk. It's easy for us to infiltrate human conversation and terms with the way that we talk to our girls, so that as they grow and they understand that these terms are maybe a little bit different to what they might hear in other circles, they'll then see them as being standard, or I hate to use the word normal, but they'll see them as being really common for them. And they'll soon learn that some other children don't necessarily use the words like, you know, carried in someone else's tummy and you know, two dads and that kind of thing.
Sure. Now, you mentioned daughters, so how old are your children?
Willow's two and Harper's four. They had their birthdays in June.
Oh, wow. And I suppose it's one of those things that probably you're slowly introducing them to what may be different about the family that you have as compared to the other families they may see. So I'm guessing you're introducing sort of ideas about what it is that they're part of.
Yeah, well, it's more about knowing that we never use a concept that is not right. Yeah. We never cover up a concept. And they're young, naturally, but even our oldest daughter, Harper, who is phenomenally intelligent, she the other day probably not the best story to tell, but I was sitting in the car and she was joyously telling me how many babies had popped out of Auntie Amanda's tummy, who was our surrogate, because Amanda had two girls, then our two girls, then blessedly fell pregnant again unexpected, well after our girls were born and had a boy. So, and Harper understands that and doesn't associate that term with either parent or mother, just associates that term with Auntie Amanda and her journey. So as Harper grows and as her vocabulary expands and her understanding expands, then she'll be able to piece those puzzles together in a really clear picture, but she'll never have an appreciation or a thought that there was anything wrong or different about that. Mm. And we've always had the theory that it's special and precious, but it's not a taboo subject for us to talk about, the way that our family came together.
She sees herself as lucky as well. Like, she'll say, oh, that little girl has a mum and a dad, and she's not very lucky. She doesn't have, she doesn't have two dads. Like, that's...
I love that. Good on her.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Because that's her normal.
Yeah.
There's no, like, we don't have and we're not like that, sweetie. It's... the opposite.
And I remember once she had a conversation with her nan-nan about not having a mum and a dad, and her nan-nan said, said to her, so, you know, would you like to not have one of your daddies and have a mummy instead? And that was definitely not the
cards.
Not going to happen.
No.
So she gets the concepts of what these all mean, but naturally they're in really beautiful little terms that make sense to a 3 or a 4-year-old.
There's so much there that you've said that I want to unpack. I love hearing you talk about well, I want to discuss about, you know, where did you learn about how to have these conversations and how to be so frank with Harper, and why do you think it is that she is so receptive? But we're going to hold off on that for a bit, because I think let's just flesh out some of the terms that you've dealt with already. Obviously, you mentioned that you had Harper through domestic surrogacy. Now, there may be some people listening who aren't quite familiar with exactly what we mean by domestic surrogacy. So can you tell us a little bit more about that process?
For me, it's the people who know and love you that say, hey, I'll do this for you. It's that simple for me, because he'll say it technically.
So
that's what I mean. Yeah. To me, like, well, someone loves us and has said, we know you want to have a family and we want to do this for you. It's not a financial thing. It's, they're your mates.
Yeah, so yeah. Kate would say it better. But the beauty of Victoria's system is that we're allowed to have an arrangement where a woman can step up, can offer to be a surrogate, so there's no payment involved, which is why we use the word altruistic. It must be non-commercial. And another woman can offer up to be an egg donor. It cannot be the same woman, which we've grown to like that system, but in other states it's not always the same.
Yes.
So there's a rather lengthy process involved in making sure that everybody's okay. We actually had an egg donor originally for Harper who was not... who was seen to not be maybe ready for the process, and so we actually saw the whole process in action, if you like. But it means that the people involved are there for the process of creating a child, for the parents, for us, and that everyone understands that that's the whole reason they are there.
Yeah.
So there is no commercial benefit anywhere. There is no ulterior motive anywhere. It is just because, you know, as it happens, those two women thought that we would make good parents, and they wanted to help us get to the point where we could become parents.
Do you look like you want to add something to that?
When we decided we wanted to have a child, we thought we'd just get everyone into a room and say, none of you are leaving until you've chosen who's doing this for us. But we didn't have to do that.
Not great.
There's been a lot of press coverage within the gay community lately about Dustin... I'm going to get his name wrong now, Tom Daly and his partner, Dustin Lance Black, and about their surrogacy journey. And they've been on the sharp end of some people have said some very nasty things. Have you come up against any of that in your time?
Well, we're not famous, so no one cares, really. but otherwise, like anything, we don't cop anything, to be honest.
I certainly know that when our surrogate was pregnant, she had lots of conversations that she was required to know how to have conversations, because you can't hide pregnancy.
No.
And if you go 3 questions deep, it becomes relatively obvious.
Yes.
And so you know, I remember a couple of her conversations went on the edgier side of less than pleasant. Mm. And we certainly had a few, I think, conversations of people really maybe starting on inquisitive and bordering on not really understanding. And from my perspective, you know, one of the reasons we have the Baby Steps Project is because we want to share, we want to talk. And so from my perspective, I was always happy to have the conversation with anyone who was willing to listen.
Yes.
People who wanted to understand, because from my perspective, you know, when we set out on this journey, we knew nothing. And it took us really 6 or 12 months to even really know what this was about. And it took us 3 years to actually know what this journey is like.
Yes. I think the questions that were had, say, with Amanda, I think it was people in their uncomfortable space. And when you break it down, that's all it was. Yeah. Like, and it was all their concerns while we're sitting back having none of them.
Yes.
Because we've just spent 2 years, you know, going through a review panel that was horrendous. And, like, you know, we're past all that. So it's all, they're just scared. It's them, not us.
Yeah.
And
Kate, I might ask you, can you give up, you're obviously a statutory authority.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little bit of an overview of the kind of statutory context in which this kind of, the kind of experience that Michael and Terry have outlined is located?
Yeah. So within Victoria, women can offer to be a surrogate. They need to have had a live birth. They need to be 25. They, as Michael and Terry said, they had counselling. Everyone has counselling to make sure everyone's really comfortable. And then it goes before the patient review panel. It sounds very daunting, but in practice, it's really there to make sure that everyone is okay with it. And in practice, I don't think they've actually refused anybody. Everyone's had the big tick. And then the treatment goes ahead. So, you know, the advantages of doing this locally, as you can hear from the girls, is just so beautiful that they can have this wonderful connection with the two women that helped them be. And so I think there are just so many advantages in having the arrangement.
Well, we're definitely going to explore a lot of those advantages over the course of the rest of the program. And, of course, I definitely want to come back to the Time to Tell seminar and flesh that out a little bit more. You are, of course, listening to Family Matters, where Time to Tell is the name of the game this evening. More coming up with our wonderful guests, Kate, Michael and Terry, right after this.
So we've sort of got Kate here and Michael and Terry. Kate's from Varta and Michael and Terry are gay dads through surrogacy. Michael and Terry, I was going to ask you about conversations you have when you've had the children you've had and how you sort of, I suppose it's not your children as such that you want to tell often because they sound like they've pretty well clued up, at least Harper is, because she's old enough to understand a little bit more. But I suppose it's the people around you that you sort of meet, not family as such, because obviously you sort of locked them in a room, as you said earlier on, so to speak, and told them all about what you're doing, and hopefully everyone can have an opportunity to talk about where they're at and what they want to ask yourselves. But what is it that you sort of find that you come up against when you sort of are out there with the community, with your children, that you sort of are asked, and how do you deal with that?
Well, We don't, do we? Like, if we have my best friend who is our egg donor, if she's with me and Michael's with me, everyone's like, oh, how's this working out, Karen? You know? And they all suss and they all want to find out and they're all excited. But we kind of, I can't say that I ever, like, unless I'm blind, I don't really notice.
Yeah, I think I'm impervious to it.
All right.
I honestly do. Like, I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that if someone gives me a questioning look or if I'm in an environment where someone actually is more one-on-one, they might be inclined to ask. But I think a lot of people will give you, like, maybe a glance and they'll throw a questioning glance your way. But to be fair, two guys walking with a child or two children these days is not that uncommon.
Yep.
So, you know, for us, the part that we find to be the most blessed part is the fact that we got to do this in Australia, and that's what we bang on a lot about.
Mm.
But the fact that we're two dads with kids is not that uncommon.
I
we don't
like
think
people,
see that as special too much.
I feel like people watch a little bit closer but smile a bit brighter.
Well, that's so lovely.
That's
lovely.
It's true, though, but they're sussing it out, and then they jerry, and then then they see how happy the kids are, because really that's what it's all about.
Yep.
Fundamentally how awesome they are, and they're just great kids. So people just think, oh, look at that, anyone can do this, can't they? Like, the gays can do that, and yeah.
But I observe more than I might have, say, 5 years ago, and I see lots of dads with kids out, and yep. and I, of course, don't think about it, I don't question that, but I like the fact that I notice it, and I like the fact that I yeah. see it. So I just think there's also a lot more diversity in family representation, and that's a great thing.
It's so important, though, so important. Mm. We are, of course, talking about conversations and how we have those conversations, and we're talking about the Time to Tell conference, which is predominantly about how we have those conversations with children. I know that you've had these conversations particularly with Harper, your four-year-old. How did you feel your way around how best to have this conversation?
I'm going to pass. Terry did most of that, to be fair. Like, I'm analytical, and I deal with things as and when they land, and so I just compartmentalise, proceduralise, and just deal with things. So yeah. Terry's certainly got a much better emotional grasp than I do, and he thought about these things before we entered the arrangements, before we really started, and certainly before we had children. And, you know, I remember the term tummy mummy, which is not our term, but it's something that Terry first brought to the table as being a really logical thing to have. That opened the conversations for us. So the counselling process encouraged us to have thoughts about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the counselling, even though it is it's very robust, it is really important, in my opinion, because it makes you ask yourself a lot of questions and ask that of the people involved, including how you talk. Mm. So I remember that our donor has a child, and our surrogate, of course, has children. And so we had lots of thoughts about how to talk to them about what was going on, because they're impacted by this decision that mm-hmm. we're making, you know, really that impacts on them. And so Terry was instrumental. Like, he did this little book that was given to the child of our donor that sort of broke it down into a really simple diagrammatic term. And ultimately, I think he said...
Yeah, there was like a picture of a sperm, and then there was a bunch of eggs in a basket.
You made that book?
Yes.
Oh, good on you.
Because this was for our donor's son.
Yeah.
He would have been about 8 or 9 at the time when we were explaining it. And he goes, oh, so science. Well, yes, that would have saved me a book. Thank you. But it was just there's the little sperm and that basket of eggs, and we mix this up, and bam, screaming baby. And
You don't think about every conversation you've got to have, but it makes you start to break down certain conversations, and once you've gotten some broken down, they all start to become easier.
I wonder, is it a fallacy then that there's this kind of conversation? There's never really a conversation, is there?
It's a dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, as I say, Harper is 4.
And she's, I'm legit with her. She'll say, why do you have balls? And I'm like, because boys do, and then girls have stuff on the inside. Like, she's, you just...
But Harper's 4, and she's asking for privacy on the bathroom.
Can I have privacy? Oh,
wow. Where did you get that from?
You have no reason to ask for that.
Yeah.
But even...
And she has asked, and I've said to her, you know, we have this, and then the girls have this, and myself and Auntie Mel mix this up together, and Auntie Amanda had you, and magic and science, and she thinks that's amazing. Mm. And it is.
It is.
But her eyes light up. Like,
so you can't
that's exciting.
Because if you wait to have a conversation, in my opinion, by then it's too late. Because you didn't.
Yes.
So it's just part of the tapestry of the way that we talk. It's never a secret. It's never taboo.
Yes.
It's certainly never bad.
Yes.
And it's normalised.
That's right. So it's just the way that she understands her family. So as she asks more questions, which she will start to do as she hits her inquisitive stage, then we'll come up with slightly more detailed answers and more good examples. But what we want to ensure is that she never has a reason to think anything other than it's acceptable and it's normal, but she just then needs to question how it's different, because it is different.
Yes, wonderful. Kate, you are nodding your head vociferously.
I just like to bottle these two. I mean, they're doing exactly what we encourage parents to do. We really encourage parents to make a family storybook, and one of the parents who will be speaking will come along with their family storybook, and we've got some examples on the website. Kids just love them, and they're wonderful for donors' kids and also for the surrogates' kids. So, and it is a lifetime conversation. It's a dialogue, and you can sometimes think that kids get it, but it's good to check in, because sometimes they can just misunderstand something, or some kids can actually forget the conversation. It doesn't sound like Harper and Willow will, because they sound gifted. But some, you know, unless it's that ongoing conversation, and if parents leave it too long, then they can actually forget they've been told.
Well, it, you know, it messes people up when they don't know things and find out when they're 30. Yeah. Like, it's just weird.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen too much more these days. Now, we have actually had a message in, Con.
We have. We've got sort of Tummy Mummy, and they've sort of called it brilliant. So, what fortunate girls to have so much love in the world. What inspirational dad. Love truly makes a family.
Yay. So, thank you to our messenger. Yep. If you want to message in and join the conversation, please do. The number is 0427JOY949, or you can email us at
onair@joy.org.au.
Now, we are, of course, talking about the Time to Tell seminar, and we've referenced it a number of times, but let's actually flesh it out now. Okay. Can you give us an overview of exactly what this seminar is? You've talked a little bit about why it's so important, but if you can just remind us, you know, I think we've heard so much from Michael and Terry about why it is really important, but from Varta's perspective.
Well, I think people may not be aware that with DNA testing, that if people are not told, then they can find out inadvertently through and sort of not looking for that sort of answer, but just having an innocent sort of test and find out much more than they bargained for. Also, because donors can apply, if people haven't been told, then Varta needs to outreach to the donor conceived person, and so if they haven't been told, then we will need to tell them. So our motto is, it's never too early, never too late to have those conversations.
And now, the Time to Tell seminar, I'm looking over the schedule now. It looks like you've got a lot packed into that one day.
Yeah.
Do you want to take us through some of the sessions that are being held over the course of the seminar?
So we cover why tell, we cover how to tell, and we go through the different sort of ages and stages, and what we go through different things people might actually say, the words they might use. We've also got a panel of three donor-conceived adults who found out as adults, and that was really quite shocking and overwhelming for them.
Wow.
One through a DNA test, one through the mother, and I can't think of what the other person's
story is.
People
have to go along to the seminar, won't they?
And then we have a huge family session where we have lesbian mums and their daughter. We have Michael and Terry. We have a solo mum. We have straight parents using donor sperm. We have donor egg. You know, we have to cover absolutely every different way of having a family these days.
Mm.
But all families are actually saying exactly what Michael and Terry are saying. So they, even though it's might be a different form of donor used, or whether it's surrogacy, every parent is actually saying the same thing, and their kids are actually saying the same things. The kids are saying, like Harper and Willow, you know, they love their parents, they love being a family, and they get this. They get this better than anyone else does. So for them, it makes complete sense that if you need eggs, or you need sperm, or you need a tummy, that someone else helps you out. That's what, as parents, I think we try and teach our kids to help others. So.
It always strikes me that it makes sense to children, because of course it does. It's so simple. But then us adults have a way of really complicating and muddying the waters, don't we?
Well, I often use the analogy of, you know, a child drops all their lollies on the playground, you know, and you want someone else to say, here, have some of mine. Mm. And that's what an egg donor does. That's what a sperm donor does. You know, you want someone who, you know, is getting wet, needs an umbrella. You want, you know, you want someone to help you. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, look, so affirming to hear you speak. This is obviously so important. As we said at the top of the program, it's exactly what a program like this is about. It's about encouraging diverse families and encouraging conversations and a dialogue, an open dialogue about those families. So we will continue to explore the Time to Tell conference, the Time to Tell seminar, over the rest of the program. We're quickly running out on time, but there's certainly more to come. You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. You are listening to Family Matters on Joy, where this evening we are exploring the Time to Tell a seminar, a really important seminar about having discussions about conception, especially in the context of ART. And we're still joined in the studio by our wonderful guests, Kate Bourne, who works very closely with, works for FATHER, and of course, Michael and Terry, who have been through this process. You've been through this process yourselves, and you've been telling us all about it. We've heard the journey, and we've also heard about Nan and Poppy.
Yes, Nan and Poppy have sort of used the 0427 Joy 949 to sort of SMS us, and they've sort of said, we love listening to Michael and Terry share this story on the radio. They're amazing fathers and people. Love from Harper and Willow's Nan and Poppy.
Yay.
Yay.
Hi. Thanks for messaging Nanny and Poppy.
We miss you.
Well, I'm sure they do. And also, we just got another one too at the moment. It's from Lockie. Hi, guys. I'm very supportive of your journey and the barriers that you're breaking down in the area of gay families. I'm curious, though. Often we hear of breakdowns in relationships. Do we have statutory processes in place that deal with these kinds of issues in the LGBTQTIA family space? So I'm just wondering, is it something that VATA keeps track of, or
I don't know that we have. I mean, of course, Kate, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't really keep track of anyone's relationships in the space of ART. So why would we pay particular attention to LGBTIQ relationships in that space?
So the seminar we're talking about is coming up on the 6th of October, so it's a month away. And something I want to ask you, Kate, is it seems like not only are we sort of welcoming parents who've obviously used ART, but also we're sort of talking to family members, potential parents, friends, donors, and even various professionals. So it's not only just for parents who are trying to explore how do we talk to our children about this, but those who are thinking about children and discussions they may be having and how to explore it.
But I'll also get you to come back to that first question as well, so might do both. That's okay.
I mean, obviously for any family to break down, it's a tragedy.
Yep.
And so you'd be wanting people to try and really make sure, because for the sake of the children, you want anyone that assisted in their becoming to be civilised and get on as well as they possibly can for the sake of the kids.
Mm.
In terms of the seminar, one thing I haven't mentioned is that we do have breakout groups in the afternoon, and that can be really fantastic for people to go to, because then they're with their particular peers, so they're in those sort of different groups are for the different sorts of donation and family constellations, and each one is run by a counsellor and an experienced parent like Michael and Terry. So that's a great way, but certainly professionals are very welcome to come as well.
Because there is a broader conversation that's happening here as well. So it's not just parents, it's really anyone who's interested in the upbringing of children and how to have these conversations.
Absolutely, because we still hear of people who say, oh, why should the children be told this? You know, it's
still
a bit of an abuse of love is enough, but it's almost like love's enough to be deceptive.
Yeah.
Which is, I think...
So people do still say that?
Some people still believe that.
Right.
So even though I think we've learnt through adoption, I don't think very many people would suggest that children who were adopted shouldn't be told. So I'm a little bit confused why people would think that it's okay to deceive people about where they began, how they began.
And I think it also probably perpetuates this complete fallacy that there is something wrong with it, that you shouldn't be able to talk about it.
Well, I think sometimes if parents are actually doing this, it can be because they fear that the child won't love them if they're not the biological father, which is absolutely not the case.
Yes.
I mean, kids totally get who their parents are. And so that is something that is absolutely not to be feared. I guess what is the greater risk of damaging relationships, people can understand why their parents needed a donor or a surrogate. What they can't understand is not being told about that, because it's, you know, so integral to how they...
But I think when they're a teenager, they're going to do that. Like, I know that you know, one of the girls is not biologically mine, and I don't even think that way, but when they know, they're going to say, well, you're not my dad anyway, and to dig the thumb in and hurt you. But that's what teenagers do.
My teenage daughter, can I tell you, yeah, she's not donor conceived. She said at 14, I said, darling, why, I'm not the enemy. And she said, well, mum, I said, tell me why, you know, this is, you know, why you're behaving like this. And she said, oh, it's just... I can't stand your personality, and everything you do and everything you say irritates me. And I said, oh, can you give some examples? She said, no, that'd hurt your feelings. So look,
biological,
all children, I mean, she, a few months later she wrote me a beautiful tribute about, you know, in English she had to write about someone she was proud of. So they're just flipping at that age. So it's entirely normal. It's not about the, you know.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
They just want to get you where they want to get you.
I think it's the sign of a very healthy relationship, don't you? And we have a very healthy relationship now that she's 26.
Now, something that we but 12 years later, you still remember. Still,
wouldn't you?
God, it's fresh.
One thing that we have only briefly touched on, Michael and Terry, is your broader project that you have going on in the background, the Baby Steps project. Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
Sure. Baby Steps is it's a simple project to do with trying to raise awareness. So we feel blessed by the journey that we've been able to go through in having our family, and we want to do our best to encourage people to have conversations, to think laterally, and to just be aware of the options that exist in families. And so the goal of Baby Steps is just to increase the conversations. What we would really love to see is more women saying to their friends and family, I've thought about surrogacy or egg donation, to see more men saying to their friends and family, I've thought about donating sperm, and for more people, for more couples to say, or more singles to say, I'm thinking about having a family. I want you to know that, and if there's anything you can do to assist me, can you think of a way to do that? So
it's also hard to hate something or someone when you love their story.
Yes.
So if you tell your story, then even if it's a few people that you impact, you know, and or it gets the conversation going.
But even Kate's wonderful example, which I really love because it's in some ways so simple, of, you know, someone who drops their lollies, you expect that the child standing next to them would offer them some lollies. It's how do we get people to see that there's really not that much of a difference in the two scenarios.
And the thing that I've found in the years that we've been actively thinking and talking about surrogacy is that the majority of people we talk about don't think about it. Mm. And there's a whole range of reasons for that. I read a lot of the submissions into surrogacy to the federal government. And at the beginning of it, you talked about adoption. You know, there's a checkered history in this country with adoption. And,
yes.
And, you know, to some extent, a checkered history with donor. And all that feeds a taboo. And that is the taboo that we need to break down. We need to highlight to people that there's nothing unhealthy, there's nothing unnatural, and there's nothing but love involved in families being made.
Can I ask you, Kate, do you think that while we still have the legislative regime that we do, that kind of mind change, mindset shift is possible?
I think we're already seeing it happening. I think we've gone from, I guess, the early days of donor conception where I guess we had to learn some really hard lessons because parents were encouraged not to tell. Donors were all very much anonymous. And it was only, I think, when donor conceived people became adults and said, you know, this actually doesn't work for us. We were not part of this arrangement. And, you know, we've learned the hard way that things needed to really change. And fortunately in Victoria, we really have changed. And so I think it is about developing a culture where people do help each other through egg donation and sperm donation and surrogacy, and that it's seen to be just like organ donation, blood donation. I mean, obviously it's quite different from donating blood because you're creating a life. And so I'm also don't want to sound like this is flippant. It has to be very thoughtfully done, and only people that are really, really comfortable to do this should be donating, and also only people that really feel comfortable to use a donor. Otherwise, yes, I think it goes very pear-shaped.
Right.
Or can go.
Michael and Terry, for people who want to find out more about your project, I know that you've got a website under construction at the moment, but perhaps an email address or some way that people can find out a little bit more about your project?
Sure. The best thing would be to email one of our foundation coordinators, so Michelle at broadtree.com.au, and Michelle can get back to people with the website once it's working and some of the collateral that's coming together, and she can connect them with our coordinator as well, who's trying to find more ways for us to tell the story and to connect to community.
Now, I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but we did discuss that you have a podcast as well as part of the project. Is there a way for people to access the podcast?
There will be.
That will be the website.
So the website will come through our foundation website and it will be on there. So that's all in the process of being finalised at the moment.
Yeah, right. So the baby steps is also putting one out at a time. For 12 months. it's in 12 parts, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So each of the cast tells a different part of the story to try and it tells the story across our first surrogacy process, our first child.
Well, congratulations on the work that you're doing in this space, and I hope that we can get you back on the program when you've launched your website and when those podcasts are available. We'd love to have you back to have a more in-depth discussion about this project.
That'd be great. We'd love to be back.
Thank you both so much for joining us this evening. It's been such a pleasure to hear from you and to hear about your experiences.
Thank you.
And I'm so thrilled that there's going to be this platform for people to learn more from you.
Okay.
And Kate, thank you again for joining us. People who want to find out more about this seminar?
So there's information on our website, which is vata.org.au. So have a look there. You can register online. Please do not turn up on the day. We will not have any lunch. We won't have a chair. We hate it when people do that. There'll also be books to purchase from, we've got Hares and Hyenas, a bookshop bringing along a selection of gorgeous kids' books. So we'd love to see you there.
So, again, the seminar is the Time to Tell seminar. You can find out more about it on the Vata website, which is, again, vata.org.au, or indeed you can download this podcast, which will be available on Joy's website shortly. And, again, that's October the 6th from 9:30 to 4 p.m.
Sure is. And you could visit our Facebook page if you want to find any more information, Family Matters on Joy, or get in touch again with us, as we said, familymatters@joy.org.au. Daniel, it's been lovely. We sort of found out things that I sort of am surprised that we've moved so far as to where we've been to in that very short time talking about these things.
Well, like I think we alluded to before, it's such an interesting and dynamic and evolving space. So this is certainly a conversation that we're going to keep having on the program. I know, Con, you wanted to do one more shout out for...
Yep. We do. We've got next Thursday, the 13th of September, there's a Rainbow Families Foster Carer Community Information Session, which is going to be held at their venue on Drummond Street, which is wheelchair accessible, and it's also got gender neutral facilities, and there are some refreshments provided. So you're invited to join this. Best thing to do is go to fosteringconnections.com.au, and you can sort of also email them at info@rainbowfamilies.org.au. And, sort of make the best opportunity to sort of find out about being a foster carer.
Well, that's it for another week of Family Matters. Coming up next on Joy 94.9 is Well, Well, Well.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.